The founders of America spoke about self-evident truths, but today a lot of people question even whether there is such a thing as truth. Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries, is the author of the new book, Truth Changes Everything. He writes, America has passed a tipping point. A majority of young Americans now say that there is no absolute truth. Rather, it is up to each individual to define their own truth, People talk about speaking my truth rather than seeking the truth, end quote. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Dr. Jeff Myers back to the program. Dr. Myers, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, it's fun to be back with you. I always enjoy these conversations.
You know, you and I have spoken actually in previous conversations about this upcoming book, Truth Changes Everything. This is the first conversation I think we've had about the book now that the book is actually out. That's exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting to have the book out there. This is, I believe, the core issue of our day. Will we stand for truth or not? Will we even recognize that truth actually exists, or will we persist in this fiction that truth is up to every individual? You know, M. Scott Peck, who you remember from the 1970s, famous psychiatrist, said, look, if you are dealing with a mental health issue, the very first thing you've got to do is recognize reality. You've got to grapple with reality as it actually is. That's the starting point. You'll never get well if you don't do that. And I think the same thing is true for societies. Societies can't get well if we live in some kind of a fantasy world that everything revolves around us and whatever we want to believe is what is true.
Okay, what kind of implications does that have on, say, the push for the transgender agenda that we're seeing? And by the way, define that for those maybe not familiar with exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, transgender is the idea that people are not, that our distinctive identity as human beings does not include being male or female. Now, we know that humans are mammals. Mammals are dimorphous. There are males and there are females. It's not just your genitals. There are 6,500 biological cataloged differences between males and females. But the transgender movement has said, well, but there's a difference between sex and gender. Gender is something entirely different. Sex is what your body is, or the way they say it is what sex you were a quote unquote assigned at birth. And gender is your personal identity, what you believe. So there could be thousands or millions, billions of different genders. It's entirely up to you. Well, now that belief has gone back and begun to affect everything that happens in education, medicine, and everything else. And it's all based on a fiction that there is no difference or no meaningful difference between males and females. And so, yes, if you can get boys and girls to look at one another and say there is no difference between boys and girls, well, then, Jerry, you can get them to believe anything. That becomes the most vulnerable population possible to any kind of big brother influence that comes along.
It really is so sad, though, too, because a lot of young people are falling for this kind of stuff. And then they'll go, let's say, through surgeries, disfiguring surgeries or puberty blockers or things like that. Then later on, they'll have regrets, but it's too late. They can't undo the damage that's been done. And ironically, these same children wouldn't even be able to be given aspirins, let's say, by the local school without parental permission.
Well, without parental permission, in many states, you can't get a tattoo if you're under the age of 18. And yet we're allowing children, because of those who've taken charge of the American Medical Association's tiny committee on transgender standards of care, you can have doctors prescribing medication off-label, not FDA approved, not monitored, and with no long-term care. So, for instance, a child who receives puberty blockers, it will damage their body. That's practically guaranteed. The puberty blocker is actually a drug called Lupron, and it's used to help men who have prostate cancer well, there are lots of side effects to it. But when you're dealing with prostate cancer, the side effects are worth it in order to save your overall health. Giving this drug to children, I believe, is a form of child abuse. And yet, if 10 years from now, a child is experiencing all kinds of major physical side effects, there's no medical remedy because the standards of care say that that was the doctor. That's what the doctor was supposed to have done in this. And, the statute of limitations has expired and there is no remedy for this. So this idea of truth all of a sudden spirals into all of these areas that affect the way we even raise a generation.
Okay, so what is the biblical truth, let's say, when it comes to this particular issue, let's say the transgender issue?
Well, I think biblically you start with the idea that God made them male and female. That's not just a religious claim. That's the most observable fact about humanity that there is. There are differences. We know they're just like there are differences between light and dark and good and evil. There are differences between male and female. We need to go back and have those differences understood biblically, biblically conditioned rather than socially conditioned. In other words, the cultural stereotypes that we deal with are not necessarily the biblical principles. So we go back and look at biblical aspects of masculinity and femininity. And it turns out that the Bible is, even in the Old Testament, was far advanced beyond any other civilization in the way it protected women and children, the way it intentionally and desexualized family relationships so that they would be more stable and more safe, even how that affects economic opportunity and the environment. All of those things were biblical innovations. And Jerry, that was the whole point of why I wrote Truth Changes Everything, because I wanted people to understand. We sometimes think that this, you know, our current secular society, they're responsible for everything good. They're responsible for nothing good. It all goes back to Christians in the past who started not only with the idea that there is truth, but the idea that Jesus is the truth. Truth isn't just a set of logical propositions. It's a person. That single thing changed the course of history more than anything else.
Boy, I totally agree with you. Now, Sweden is a country where they've been very liberal. And again, I'm not leaving the transgender issue just yet. They've been very liberal on that. And yet they've also said that, look, in the long term, people who go that route and they even have all the treatments of the transgender stuff, they end up, they're more likely to commit suicide despite, you know, the acceptance that they get from society. So in other words, the treatments that they've pursued haven't solved the core problem that's deep down in their souls.
Jerry, there are a lot of people today who call themselves detransitioners. They were told that you can change your body from male to female. And that obviously is a fiction. That's impossible. It's a biological impossibility. But they were told that. And so they started taking medicine, maybe puberty blockers, maybe cross-sex hormones, maybe having surgical procedures, as you mentioned, that mutilated their bodies. Now they're looking back and realizing with great regret that that was a mistake. And I remember the other day, one of them said, I realized at long last that my body was not the problem. The change that I had a mental issue going on. I had something going on in my mind and I can't alter my body to fix it. And what they found in Sweden, and so tragic, is that people who went through all the transition process later came to regret it. Their suicide rate was 19 times higher. So it's just horribly tragic. And that's why Finland, by the way, I would say very advanced in what we would call transgender medicine, and they've backed way away from it. They've decided no, psychotherapy, not medicine, needs to be the first line of helping people deal with gender dysphoria. Same thing in the United Kingdom. They've backed way away from it. The major clinics that used to do this have all changed. But in the United States of America, because it's been politicized by people who say there's no such thing as truth, and they're in charge of those committees, change is much more difficult to come by.
And in the wider issue of what we're talking about here, how in the world can society function properly if there is no, you know, agreement that there is such a thing as truth? For example, take the court of laws. I mean, if It's your truth versus my truth. Well, how does that work when you're, you know, brought under oath, you know, before a judge and you've got to testify about something in a legal matter?
Well, it could actually be worse than that. There is a very popular New Age teacher named Eckhart Tolle who said you aren't responsible, that what the part of you that committed the crime is your pain body, and you are not responsible for what your pain body did. So we are literally in the place where people are saying, you know, that was not me who committed that crime, so you can't put me in jail for it. Yes, so what kind of society can you have? You can't really have any kind of really functioning society at all. Philip Reif, who you probably have read and thought about quite a bit, who was a psychologist, you know, and he said you society can't function unless you have some sense of the normative institutions. And if they fail to communicate the society's ideals in a way that's inwardly compelling to people, you can't continue. And that seems to be where we are. You know, go back to Will Durant, a great civilization is not conquered from without until it has destroyed itself from within. So is there a bigger battle that we need to inform ourselves on? And is there something more important than recognizing biblical truth is found in Jesus and how that's changed the course of the world? To me, it's top of mind. And here's the cool thing, Jerry. In times of great crisis, that's when Christians made the greatest difference. They didn't wait around until the crises passed to make a difference. They stepped into the moment. They engaged rather than escaped. That's the story I'm telling, and truth changes everything.
Oh, that is a great point. In fact, somebody was asking me the other day, you know, we were talking about what if Jesus had never been born, the book I co-wrote with Dr. Kennedy, but they said, well, what about the Dark Ages? You know, that's when you had the rise of the church. And I said, well, wait a minute now. The Dark Ages arose when the barbarians overcame the Roman Empire and the whole thing collapsed. But out of the ashes of all that, the one institution that, you know, managed to continue with order and so forth while everybody else was generating chaos was the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I think that's real important. Now, right now, I'm talking to you in a building. I'm in the tower of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm sure you've seen it before. Dr. Kennedy,
yes, I have.
Founder of that and so forth. Okay, I'm on the fourth floor. If the architects of this building had believed that truth was relative, how do I know that this floor wouldn't just collapse because they didn't build it right, because there is no such thing as building anything right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, the idea that truth matters, man, it would matter for everything. It would matter in terms of the food we eat. What if, you know, somebody says, well, they say this is poison, but I don't think so. I'm just going to go ahead and put it in this food. I mean, we can't live that way, the idea that everything is relative.
Yeah, there's really very little that we do in transportation or going into buildings and so forth that where we wish the people who designed all of those things didn't believe that 2 + 2 = 4. No, obviously, we want them to acknowledge and recognize reality for what it is. But even the fact that we're using language, let's say there's somebody who's listening to the program who disagrees, and I'm sure you know that there are people who are disagreeing. Well, we can only disagree if we understand that we don't our thoughts don't correspond to the thoughts that were expressed. How could we possibly know that? Because we assume that words have meaning. Why would we assume that words have meaning? Because we assume that words do have a reasonable relationship with the things and ideas to which they refer. None of these assumptions about life are sustainable unless there is such a thing as truth. So when people say, hey, stop seeking the truth and just start speaking your truth, they're undermining the very meaning that they hope comes across when they say that.
If people go to your website, summit.org, will they get more information or be able to get more information on Truth Changes Everything?
Yes, you can just Google Truth Changes Everything, and where to get the book will come up. It's got about 75 stories. I smiled a lot when I thought of your book and Dr. Kennedy's book on Jesus. What if Jesus had never been born? I felt like in many ways this book is continuing that mission, but applying it to the battle of truth that we're facing in our own time. So just Google Truth Changes Everything. And if we at Summit Ministries can help you through our extensive resource library of biblical worldview and apologetics, we want to do that. Most of it's available at no charge at summit.org.
Okay, Dr. Jeff Myers, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
And I mean that in sincere truth.